Hello and welcome everyone to the Key to Licensing One Simple Idea, simplifying licensing for inventors, product developers, and idea people. If you are here looking to learn about how to get your product to market through the route of licensing, you are in the right place. Stay tuned and make sure to join the others who are on their licensing journey. Hello and welcome everyone to another InventRight podcast. Today I have a wonderful student of ours who recently licensed one of his products called Roach Pack in the marijuana industry. And so Arkady Grigorian, welcome to the Key to Licensing podcast. I am excited to interview you about what your experience has been like throughout this process of trying to get your product licensing and see if we can shed some light on also this very big industry that is growing faster than anything that I know, both physically, literally growing, and figuratively as well. So welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's start off with just telling us a little bit about how you decided, well, when you developed this product and how or why you decided that you wanted to essentially license it out.
Okay. So it all started, I have to go back to the beginning. So it all started about 2.5 years ago. So I used to smoke cigarettes and then I quit cigarettes and took up marijuana. And what happened was I'm a clean freak. Mm-hmm. So I like things to be clean, not messy. So what happened is when you're smoking cigarettes, pretty simple, you buy a cigarette pack, joints are in, the cigarettes are inside, smoke it, finish, done. Now, when I went to marijuana, you don't really finish a joint. So it's like a cigar. So you smoke it about a quarter way or a halfway, and then you're stuck with how do you store it for later. So I came across that problem, and because I'm a clean freak, I couldn't just leave like half the joint smoked in the car or put it in my pocket. So I'd buy an extra tube, a single tube, and I'll just put it in there and close it, you know, no air, no fire. So, but the problem was every time I went for retrieval, mm-hmm. I would have to flip the tube for the joint to slide out. And throughout the time and while the flip, all the ash goes on the lip. So when you grab the joint for retrieval, the part that your lip goes on is all ashy and black and nasty.
Gross. That sounds pretty disgusting to me.
Exactly. So being how I am, seeing it like that, I would throw it away and then just light a new one. So I would waste a lot of money.
Well, I was going to say that would probably waste a lot of money. Is that common? So when you are,
very.
Obviously, full disclosure to everybody listening to this, I have never smoked a joint, let alone a cigarette. I know there will be judgment placed on me and commentary, but I'm willing to reap that for anyone out there. So
that'll change. Don't worry.
Okay.
That'll
change. Thank you. So
be nice to her.
Oh, thank you, Arkady. So with smoking joint, is it common not to finish the whole thing? Like, is that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
okay.
Because most of the time, if you're smoking alone or with someone else, you're not usually gonna finish a joint or a blunt. There's different kinds of pre-rolls. So there are small ones, larger ones, and huge. But pretty much, unless it's a group smoking one joint, most of the time you have leftover. And then what you do with that leftover was just like, okay, this is it, just a tube. So pretty much what it was is I would have a pack of joints and then I would have a tube just so I can store it. So
and then were other people storing it like this too? Like
the clean freak people, yes. Most people they'll just put it in like the small pocket of their pants, or they'll just put it in the car or in the ashtray to smoke later. There's really no clean, nice way with the odor not bothering you or the uh-huh. ash to go everywhere. So what I did is I'm like, okay, there has to be something out there as far as packaging that makes it easier.
Yeah.
So when I checked and I Googled and looked, there was nothing. So I'm like, hold on. All I have to do is put the tube in the pack. So then you can have a pack of joints, and then you can have the tube to store it for later. You would think it's that easy. But then the problem is, I drew it up. So the way it started is I came home, I got the idea. So, you know, the light bulb moment came home, started taking notes, just, okay, it helps with this, the reason why I need it. And then I started doing some drawings to see how I could make this happen. How do you put a tube inside of a pack without having to also flip the pack upside down to get your joint out? Because if you flip it, then everything will fall out as far as new storage. So I designed some things up, and then, believe it or not, in the beginning, I didn't know anything. This was my first idea invention that I was actually pursuing. So I want to say, without having knowledge at the time, don't judge me, guys, also, I went to Invent Help, which is over here. And because I've seen the George Foreman and the advertisements and the commercials, I didn't know much. So I took the idea there. It was more just because I did searching, saw there was nothing there. I knew I had something, but I didn't have a product design yet. So I wanted to protect myself and didn't know anything else. So I just went there. So that was about $15,000 down the drain. Pretty much. They designed what I pretty much drew up, which I'm not an engineer or even a good artist, but pretty much they did the whole packet and everything. But the problem is they don't have steps down like InventRight does. That actually is from experience and that works, which was the most crucial part. And the most crucial part, the reason why I say it was a waste, is because we did not, and they did not care to even check to see if it was manufacturable.
Wow.
Can the product be made? So we had, they made this whole thing and everything, made a sell sheet. They did it all, but the problem was, is it's not manufacturable. So who cares? So when I came to that dead end, it was either drop the project or find a different way. So I have
needless to say, you didn't have a very good experience with that company.
Oh, no. So what I did then is, so it was either drop it or figure out another way. And I love the saying, I win or I learn, but I never lose. So what I did is I started researching, a lot of research. I said, okay, I'm going to do it on my own. Let me see what happens. And I came across InventRight.
Yeah. There you go.
It was
when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Yes. Just if you're looking for, if you have questions and you're out there asking questions and looking for something, believe me, you'll find it if you're actually dedicated and passionate enough to stay persistent and consistent.
Absolutely.
So what happened is, came across InventRight and literally binge watched almost, I can say, almost every video from InventRight, from the licensing with, I believe, Amy.
Yep, Amy Jo Brogan.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of videos, too. I mean, that's a lot of videos.
I'm talking a lot. And this was before I became a student.
Yeah.
Before I signed up. So I saw every video from David Fidewa, from Stephen Key, from Andrew, from every video. And then I said, wow, this company's giving all this information for free. So then I said, I have to see what they're about. When I checked you guys out and became a member, it was like the door to knowledge. If it's priceless, because what you learn, you can use for the rest of your life, and you can teach your kids. And now you're just passing along something that a lot of people don't understand, of how licensing, royalties, passive income, how you can turn an idea into an actual product is, it's not simple, but there's a process to it. And once you learn the process, done. So back to the story, sorry. So what happened is I signed up, and at the time, David Fidewa was my coach, very knowledgeable, helped me out. And then Paul took over. And I learned so much. So in between that, to back up a little, when I was looking at the videos, I was like, oh my God, amazing. So much good material. So then I had to buy One Simple Idea by Stephen Key.
Of course.
And And then that was just like a cherry on top. So as I was just feeding myself all this knowledge, I understood the basics and pretty much like how it generally works. So then when I became a student and I was hands-on with a coach and doing the steps, mm-hmm. like actually working the steps. Uh-huh. And what happened is before I came to InventRight, when I realized my product wasn't manufacturable and InventHelp was pointless and a waste, I hope I'm not saying anything bad.
I am not, saying anything bad. This is your experience.
Got it. So okay. I just don't want to, yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to say, yes.
No,
I don't
want to. Yeah. You are a client of theirs. You are completely, yes. You are allowed to state your,
okay.
Opinion,
perfect.
Your experience.
Yes.
Exactly. And what we do at InventRight, we are here, not here, obviously, to bash any person, any company, anything like that. This is really about everybody's experience. And I worked with an invention promotion company before I became a student. And that was not the greatest of experience. And so, no, you're not saying anything, bad. You had an unfortunate, you had an experience, which many individuals, because you're not the only one,
yes.
work with.
Had a bad experience.
Right, exactly. And it didn't work.
This
is your experience.
Just full disclosure to everyone.
Right.
She didn't even know I went to InventHelp. No one really knew. I'm just saying the story for the first time right now. So, So what happened is when I realized I have to either drop it or move forward, as I was watching the InventHelp YouTube videos, what I did is I hired a company with engineers.
Okay.
To make it manufacturable. So what I did I understood my strengths and weaknesses, and I said, "Hey, I'm not an engineer. I have the idea. It can happen, but I don't know how to put it together." So I hired the company. So three engineers were working on it. The main guy was Jonas, which was at the trade show. And they re-engineered it, and where it's manufacturable. And it still has all the benefits. It still solves all the problems. And in addition to it, while we were re-engineering, I was open to, of course, everything. That's the main issue to inventors is, it's your baby and you don't want to change anything. You don't want to take any criticism, but you have to be open. And it was hard for me, but I knew I had to.
Yeah.
So as things were changing, what happened is an extra benefit was we added character to the package to where is now an unlimited source of different product lines. So as they're re-engineering it, I become an InventRight student. And then that's when I start doing the real, actual, correct steps.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. It's not hard.
No.
But you just have to wake up and say, okay, today I'm going to dedicate an hour or 2 hours. And what step am I on? Is it evaluate the marketplace? Then do that. Once you're done with that, whether it takes you 20 days of an hour a day or it takes you however long, you knock that out of the way. And then you move on to make your list. Wake up, dedicate a time. Consistency, persistency.
Yeah.
So I just did the steps. Didn't care if I got a no. Didn't care if I had a good idea or a bad idea. It went down on my notes. I wrote it down. And then I went back. Do I cross it off? Do I not? So it was just every day working on it. And then, of course, knock on enough doors with a smile on your face and with the intentions of helping both sides.
Yes.
Eventually, someone's going to open that door and say yes.
And when you were working with Paul, did InventRight, did our team create your sell sheet? Did Paul help you with your sell sheet and your marketing material?
No. So what happened is this. So my whole invention process from when I got the idea to now being licensed is like a roller coaster. So what happened is when I came to that, when InventHelp, I realized it was no good and I had to realize what to do and I hired the engineers. So at the same time, I decided I'm going to venture out. and do it myself.
Okay.
Because I didn't know enough. I was still looking and researching. I hadn't come across InventRight yet.
Yes.
So what I did is I hired a separate company to do an animation video to
Got the benefits.
I came up with a great name. I hired a designer for a logo. I just, for you to understand, from then until the time I licensed, I'm in about $82,000 in this project.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have two non-provisional patents, four trademarks that are registered as of now, and of course the Invent Help 15K didn't help.
Correct.
But a lot of hiring of companies, lawyers, and so on. So because I was thinking I was going to venture out,
correct,
I pretty much did it all. And then I was like, oh, wow, I wish I came across InventRight earlier.
Yes, yeah.
Because then I could have protected myself with a PPA and then had the company pay for it and once I licensed it out. But, you know, we live and we learn. But
We do.
I hope this podcast helps others where they don't put that much time and money into it and understand that there is an easier way to get to the finish line.
Yeah, absolutely. And Arkady, it's interesting because so many of our students that I've interviewed have had very similar experiences where they, were trying to get a product out on the market, you know, found some kind of invention promoter company and obviously had spent a lot of money and nothing happened. And then at that point, you do have to make a decision. Do I stop? And, you know, that's it. Like, got to put it away. It's over with. The money's gone. And this is the end of it. Or do I figure out a way of moving forward? And those who do move forward, many of them will decide, okay, well, since I've been taken advantage of and I need to be more in the forefront of what's going on, I'm going to end up venturing. I'm going to bring this product out to market without having to rely on, you know, one of these companies to do it for me. And so sometimes like just that bad experience kind of taints things with getting help, but when you're venturing, you ultimately will still need help. So like you did when you were venturing, you were continuing to needing to hire, you know, individuals to file your non-provisional or the engineers to help you with the engineering, individuals to make the actual
websites,
videos and
URLs. It's nonstop.
Right. It's nonstop. It doesn't stop. Exactly. And so, but not too many people while they're venturing know the other side of, wait, I can actually license this. And from where I'm at right now with what I have, and what does that process look like? So what are the steps to licensing versus the steps to venturing? So you're really in it. You are going about, you're doing your homework, you're doing your research, and then you know,
I'm to a point where pretty much I went all the way into where I have a website, roachpack.com, roachpacks.com, and then roachpack. And then different locations. So like CN for China and India, Germany. I'm getting all of them just so I don't get caught. You know, in the beginning, like you said, when you go where you're at that point where you either drop it, venture out, or license, but you got to figure out what you're doing, is it's all because you lose trust.
Yes.
And you're frustrated.
Yes.
And you don't want your project to drop. So you start doing everything and anything for protection and also to move forward, not understanding the actual correct steps. Like I said, I was going in circles, like literally spending money here, they're important things, but at the same time, I'm going in circles. So pretty much I went all the way to where I even went to a manufacturing company, find out how much tooling would cost. And I was to that step where I was about to go and pay for tooling and start working on the final product to get something going. And then that's when I got more info and came across InventRight and watched all the videos. And I was like, hold on. So then I did a pro and a con. So wrote down a list. If I venture out, what do I need to do? And then you realize, you know, it's not just tooling, making the product. Then you have storage, distribution, sales and returns, complaints. You need a lot of different hats, and I couldn't do that. So then I made a list of licensing because I came across it, and then it's a no-brainer.
It is,
It really is a no-brainer. It's most people look at it like, I came up with the idea. It's my product. Why am I going to get so little of a percentage on my product? Now, to average it out, let's say 5%, right? Mm-hmm. Would you take 5% of, let's say, 100 million, or would you take 100% of 10 million? The thing is I don't want to work, and just keep working. I'm like, if I could take a small chunk of a bigger amount, why wouldn't I? And now I can spend time with my kids. I can do the things I enjoy. So when I did the list, it was a no-brainer. So then I looked into the licensing. So the licensing is this simple, pretty much. For whoever's listening, I hope this helps you. It's as simple as watch the InventRight videos, read one simple idea, and follow the 10 steps. And this is not a plug. This is real facts. This is all based off experience. This works. Mm-hmm. And licensing, it's come up with an idea. Make sure it's manufacturable. That's very important.
Yes.
Make sure it's not a problem you're solving just for yourself. There's a big market. And follow the steps. And once you make that list and you start making that hit list and you call them, and eventually something will happen.
Yeah. Especially if you believe in your product and you have done your research, and a lot of people will experience a problem they have themselves, but forget to go beyond the research element of, okay, well, what's my market with this, the solution, the problem, what's the market? You know, is there enough market? I might be having this problem, and I might think that the solution is a really great idea, but outside of myself, you know, taking yourself out of the situation, how many other individuals may be experiencing the same thing, and how big is that market of people that are experiencing that same problem, or may benefit from a solution to it? So I think that's an excellent point. And
and the way I took care of that step is what I actually did is, like I said, this started all the way like two and a half years ago. When I came up with the idea and everything else, what I did while I was with Invent Help and working on this and that, I started going, except for every dispensary and marijuana store and online packaging and so on, I started going to every marijuana and packaging convention. So it was really important. And as I watched the InventRight videos also, I realized that, you know, you guys do say that also, it's important.
Yeah.
Because you get to interact and see where the market's going, what people are asking for, where is the market going. So when I went to all these conventions to understand the marketplace and who I was building this product for, it was myself, because I'm a smoker myself. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to get a better idea, and it helped a lot. It does help a lot, because you get a better idea of where you are, and also does your product fit in right to this industry and how you can maybe better it. So like in the beginning, my product had the solution to store your item for later use, but it wasn't child resistant. Pretty much, it didn't have a mechanism of a way to open it where a child can't do it, because in order for something that goes from illegal to legal, the packaging for it has to be child resistant. Just like pharmaceuticals where you push in and twist the bottle, it has to be the same system where kids can't get into it, mm-hmm. and senior citizens can get into it. So it needs to be difficult enough for a child to not open it, but simple enough for a senior citizen too. So as I went to this convention, which was a huge benefit just for that one thing, I had to go back to the drawing board And as the engineers were re-engineering my my product to make it manufacturable, I came out with a new way of having it child resistant. And then I looked into that and realized that doesn't have a patent either. So I did a 2-in-1 to patent my product itself and the way it works. So I have the child resistance flip, just like a cigarette box would open, child resistant mechanism, and also the roach rail inside that gives you the ability to store it for later. So conventions, research, understanding the market, not only helps you understand your product better and the market, but it also improves other aspects for you to maybe improve your product to a point that you didn't even think needed improvement.
Absolutely. You can never stop learning. You can never, ever stop educating yourself and learning about the market, the industry, building relationships, talking to individuals, going to trade shows, conventions, any information that you can just get and soak up like a sponge with regards to, you know, your industry can help so much, and you can learn, you can learn so much. And you obviously have to have a very open mind and be open to thinking. You have to.
You must. Absolutely. You must. That's why in the beginning I said you have to be open to people criticizing it. And I'm not saying give the idea to tell your brother, your sister, whoever, and they just give you an opinion that's based off of nothing. I'm talking like when you talk to an engineer or a manufacturing company that's going to do your tooling, and they turn around and say, hey, this needs to be adjusted, that needs to be changed, and so on, for you to actually start thinking solutions versus what do you mean, no, this is perfect, oh my god, now what do I do? You just got to put it aside, understand the situation and the problem, and say, okay, now what? What's the solution to this? How do I fix the problem? And if you just pretty much approach all the steps on, okay, I'm learning, this is a learning process, and I need to see how I can figure this out, then I don't see any issues. If you have the will to learn and you have the patience, there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
With the internet, with books, with YouTube, it's unlimited. The resource is there. It's just a matter of, do you want to take the time? Like I said, the best way is if you do have a full-time job, then put an hour aside, maybe 4 days a week, 4 days a week, 1 hour, and make a list of what you're going to do for that invention for that hour, and just do it like that. Next thing you know, 2 months into it, you've done so much.
That's right.
Versus if you just leave the whole project for when do, okay, I'll get to it. When I get to it, how do I do this? And then I'm going to have to figure this out and that out. No, just take it one step at a time, and you'll get there. You don't go to the gym and get 500 pounds and try to lift it. No, you start at what you can do, and you start improving as you get more power and more core strength, let's say, right? So the same thing with this. The more knowledge you get, then the more input you can do.
That's right.
Put out.
Absolutely. And it's like that with anything. So I started the strength training class. Now that we're talking about, we're going to talk about the gym. And I remember, I think I started it a year ago, and I was, you know, doing like the lightest weights, and it was, you know, it was an intense. And a year later, I'm still doing the class, and now I'm like, oh man, I got to up the weights. Like, I'm not getting as tired anymore. And so it's just the process is the same with anything. You have to make the time, and you have to be open to change and learn, and, you know, things progress and things get better, and you just keep moving forward. But you have to, I completely agree. You take small steps every single day, because you can't all of a sudden expect to be at the top of the mountain or to license your product as fast as possible or as quickly as possible. You know, that's just not going to happen. So speaking of licensing, do you remember, or do you know how many companies you ended up reaching out to before you got interest on your product?
Yes. So the way it goes, like I said, it's a roller coaster. And so what happened is, as I was making my list, it was about 30 to 35 companies. I was contacting them, but the issue was, is halfway through contacting them, that was when I realized as I went to conventions and learned more that it needs to be child resistant. So these major companies are not going to touch anything that's not legal or pretty much meet regulatory needs. So then I put that on pause, went back to the other step, which is the product. And then that's when I made the child resistant mechanism on it.
Okay.
So once I did that and I had it complete, then I was about to start on the list. And what happened is the company that I hired a year back from that time of when I was about to start contacting the people for the list, the engineers that I hired, turns out one of the engineers left the company he was with, went to a global company, major company, and because he liked the way we were and the way I worked and the product, he really understood the value of the product. And like Stephen Key and Andrew and InventRight says, it's a relationship. Don't come off like a crazy inventor. Be nice.
Correct.
And so on. And it comes back around. So what happened is me being kind and working with him. And of course, they were amazing. They were kind. It was pretty much a two-way street where we understood and worked together and we were professional and understood and adjusted and spoke and worked on things. So what happened is, fast forward a year, I'm about to call these companies. Jonas, which was one of the people that was in the company I hired to re-engineer it, said, hey, can we meet? So we met up and he said, you know, I just got with this big company. They're going into the cannabis industry. They're huge, but they're not into cannabis. They're into packaging. So they're going into cannabis. And he goes, I pitched them your product and they love it. And I would want to know if you've licensed it yet. And if not, if you can give me the chance for us to work something out. And I said, of course. So the way my licensing happened is not maybe the way most other people will get it, but that's the way mine happened. So he came back and then as I looked into the company, great company, we spoke back forth and things went fairly fast. I had a licensing agreement signed and done within 5 weeks. But that was because I already had the product engineered. I had CAD files. I already made all those small issues. I already fixed them. I had non-provisional patents, trademarks, name, URL.
Yeah.
I pretty much had the whole package deal because in the beginning, I wanted to venture out. So I took other extra steps.
Yeah.
But that's how mine worked out. But, you know, if that didn't happen, of course, we never know. But I would go back to my list, which I was going to do, and contact all the lists until I got all the no's, until I got my yes.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, first of all, packaging is a really difficult, even normally, like packaging industry outside of cannabis is an extremely difficult industry to try and license into, where you probably would have needed to go back into, you know, regulations and engineering and all those types of things. And this situation with how it ended up getting licensed was really still a combination of a belief in the process, following the steps, a belief in your product, staying professional, persistent, consistent, establishing relationships. And so things end up coming together. It may not necessarily be an exact uphill climb because there's always the zigzags, but you end up getting there. And even if it's in a non, you know, traditional route where you are submitting to a bunch of companies, but you originally were reaching out, which allowed you to learn about the fact that it wasn't child resistant, and then have to go back and be like, okay, before I go back out there, I need to get this taken care of. So, I mean, I just love the story. I think it's just incredible. And
thank you. I couldn't have said it better. You said it perfect. And the way you say the zigzags, you know, you always think, you know, in a perfect world, it should like this and things will go like this. But those zigzags, if it doesn't paralyze you to where you stop and you drop everything and not move forward. Those zigzags are where you actually learn substantially.
Yes.
That's that. Those zigzags are the hold on, pause. You're not ready for the next step. That's all it pretty much is. It's telling you, hold on, you don't know something, figure it out. And that was the thing when I went and they said, hey, is it child resistant? And I was like, what? And then I looked up, okay, child resistance for marijuana. And they already had a code for it. And I started looking at the guidelines of what it takes, the process to pass it and so on. So also when Jonas contacted me, to take my product to this new company that he was with, by then I've already made prototypes, well enough prototypes where they're usable. And also I submitted those to a child resistant testing facility in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And it passed. So that's why my licensing went so quick.
Yes.
Is because on top of having the product and the name and the whole thing, I also had the child resistant and it was already tested and passed. So
correct.
It was like I was handing it to them on a silver platter.
Correct.
But those back to those weaves and those adjustments and that's where you learn. That's where you make your product better. That's when you improve. That's when your product improves. And that's when you go into the licensing deal or even the manufacturing for the tooling where you understand it so much better and you understand the different perspectives. So you can not sound like a crazy inventor saying, hey, it's a $1 billion idea.
That's right.
Yep.
Lots of those out there. So, oh my gosh. Yeah, it comes down to a level of reality.
Yes.
And take a lot of your ego out of the process. I think where a lot of people get stuck, whether they understand what that means or not, but a lot of individuals' egos are heavily or might be too heavily involved in the process of preventing them from moving forward. But once you drop that and allow yourself to be more open and receptive instead of defensive or like you were saying, the kind of crazy inventor mindset of this is going to be a $1 billion idea and everyone's going to love it. And
it's perfect the way it is.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's just not how things go down. So
correct. You got to put your ego. See, the thing is you got to put everything aside and understand it's a learning process and it's teamwork. Like for me, yes. I have to thank everyone from Jonas to all of the videos I've seen on YouTube to even the experience with Invent Help, which was terrible, but I learned. Right.
So you learned.
It's
oh, you
all
learned.
Of these. Of
oh,
course,
yes.
I learned.
Yes.
I learned. And then also, and hopefully whoever's listening to this understands and learns also, but, there's also, then you have the YouTube videos, then you have InventRight, then you have like my coach, Paul. There's so many people that come into play that it's teamwork. And if you have an ego and if you have that whole, it's my idea, it's a multi-million-dollar idea, it's perfect the way it is. And then no one's really, you're not going to be open to help, so no one's going to really help. And then that's where you try to do everything and have every hat on, which is really hard to do by yourself. Everything is very difficult to get like to a high point of success.
Yes.
Or to like the licensing deal. It's very difficult to do it by yourself. So if you put ego aside, like you said, so correct, ego is, it could kill you.
Yeah.
Because if you think you can do it all, and you're not an engineer and you're not a marketing, then and who's going to make your sell sheet? Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of these where if you don't know how to draw or do anything as far as design, who makes your sell sheet? And then you have to be open to information to go find out, oh, there's Fiverr where I could hire people to do it. But it's either information or you have to start working with people.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is it's not just your product. It's how you present the product, but most important, how you present yourself to work with others.
That's right. I completely agree. 100% agree with that. I love that. And do you know when your product is going to be out on the market? Yeah, I know that you had recently gone to the one of the largest trade shows for the cannabis industry, and they were presenting it there. So that was really exciting. Any updates, any news or recent updates?
Yes. So, so we were at the MJ BizCon in Las Vegas 2019, which was about 2 weeks ago. What the company wanted to do is, because I just signed the licensing deal end of October, they didn't have much time to do a lot. So what they wanted to do is gather a lot of information on what sizes do people want and so on. So they got everything else ready and we showed it to the public for the first time. It was so exciting to see people look at my product and actually understand it and see the use for it. But so they showed it to the public. So now that their show is done, and they have the information, they're going to be making the tooling, they're going to be making the product. So about 45 to 60 days, it should, the final product should be done. It's happening overseas, so Chinese New Year is going to slow us down a little bit. But we're shooting for February or March. I'm looking forward to seeing it on shelves.
Wonderful. And can distilleries purchase it at wholesale?
I'm guessing yes. They're they're setting up the whole distribution and wholesale and everything, and they're also open to sub-licensing. So right now they're working on the whole logistics of it, and but it should be growing and growing and going everywhere. And more details, roachpack.com.
Roachpack.com, wonderful. And I'll send that to my brother because he would be interested in maybe his the store where he manages can purchase them for their clients. That would be wonderful. So I will get that information to him as well. But this is phenomenal. Are you working on other ideas as well? I mean, now that like now that you've gone through this, are you going taking a vacation and then?
No vacation. I feel like right now, you know, when you license, you feel like you think you're done. But I think that's when like the real pull up your sleeves and get to work starts, which is, you know, instead of taking a vacation, you want to make sure your product is successful and succeeds. So I'm keeping a close contact to where I'm looking at the improvements. I'm working with them. But yes, now that I know step 1 through 9, the step 10 is start on your new idea. And yes, I do have two ideas that I am working on, but I am putting them on hold until Roachpack is complete as far as having a final product. And then I can put more time into this. Because at the same time, I'm not an inventor. So I'm a car salesman. I own a brokerage. So I don't do this for a living. So I do have, two boys and I do have a separate career that takes up a lot of my time. So it's one of those, that's why I was saying the 1 hour to 2 hours a day inconsistent, because that's the system I used. But now when, once you know the steps, you can just click, just press repeat. Find the problem. Now that I know the steps, what I tell my friends and family, and they laugh. I say, hey, next time you're complaining about something, you have a problem, do me a favor, write a note and text it to me. And they're like, why? I go, because you're getting mad and frustrated that you have a problem. I now am looking for problems to solve.
That is awesome. That is
because
awesome.
I know the steps.
Because you know the steps. That's right. That is right. Well, they complain about it. They can tell you you can solve it and at least, you know, get it licensed, make some money on it.
Yep. Why not?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This was an incredible story. It sounds like an incredible experience. I'm so happy for you. I'm so excited. I'm so proud of everything that you have, you know, gone through, the good, the bad, the ugly, but it's gotten you to this far, and we're all just so happy and excited for you. So continue following the process, keep everybody updated. We'll be posting, we posted on our newsletter already about the the trade show and pictures and everything. And so we'll continue to update the inventor community and individuals in the industry and the community about the product as well. So I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you so much for not only being an InventRight student, but sharing your experience to those who are interested in listening and learning the process.
Thank you. I can't say thank you enough. And thank you for the kind words. But like I said, it's a team effort. Yeah. Thank you to InventRight. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, everyone. And just stick to it and follow the steps. And roachpack.com for updates. And again, thank you to InventRight for everything. Guys, one simple idea. If you don't have the time to do all this research, one simple idea, get that book. If you don't want to read it, get it on Audible, listen to it. It'll change your perspective on everything.
Thank you for listening to The Key to Licensing, One Simple Idea, the podcast. If you haven't already, please go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can also check out our YouTube shows, InventRight TV, with Stephen Key and Andrew Krause. Join me next week for another interview. Thank you for listening and keep inventing.